The date is June 3rd, 1994, and we're watching The Cowboy Way. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, well, it's the Sunny to my Pepper.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the responsible one.
That's right.
God damn it. Hello, everybody. My name is Colin Stewart.
You're not wild and carefree like this guy over here. Yeah, I'm an untamed horse, untamed bronco.
Sean plays Big Chief regularly.
Nope. No, I don't. Let it go on record as saying that, boy, oh boy, did my cringe meter go up with the Big Chief scene. And I do not play Big Chief. I play my own version, which is far less. Not Big Chief. No. Wow. Yeah. I can't wait to get there. So this week, we're looking back at June 1994, when the movies and theaters were The Flintstones, Beverly Hills Cop 3, a subject of episode 173, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, subject of episode 60, The Crow. Can you believe that was like 120 episodes ago? The Crow with Frank. And of course, our movie for today, The Cowboy Way, which earned $20.2 million on a $35 million budget. Yikes. Ouch.
It's a travesty. What were people thinking in 1994?
Yeah.
But anyways, as always, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want this movie spoiled for you, like mild bestiality, off-screen bestiality, I should say, then please hit pause, go watch it, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
Or spoiled for you, like playing Big Chief in 2024.
Big,
yeah.
Big Chief.
Yeah. Oh. Well, we've only got one tagline this week, and it's okay. Here we go. How the East was won.
I read that. How many movies do you think have that tagline?
Well, I know Rush Hour was the fastest hands in the, or the,
in the East.
What is it? Yeah, the fastest West in the, or the fastest mouth in the West meets the fastest hand in the East. I'm just trying to get to East, so I keep saying eats. Yeah. But no, yeah, how the East was won, how the West was fun is the, the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, so.
Yes.
And it could have been the tagline for our movie from a couple weeks ago there as well. How the East was won was Wagons East could have used that tagline. Well, anyway, not a very good description of this movie. It says nothing at all. So let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
Alrighty. Cowboys, champion cattle ropers, and former lifelong friends Pepper Lewis and Sonny Gilstrap set aside their personal differences and travel from New Mexico to New York City to track down their missing friend Nacho, who went there to pay for his daughter Teresa, who's recently been smuggled into the U.S. from Cuba. When they arrive in New York, their Western lifestyle clashes with the multicultural high-class vibe of the Big Apple. With the help of NYPD officer Sam Shaw, they track Nacho down to the city morgue, where they learn he's been murdered. With their friend dead, Sonny and Pepper resolve to find Teresa and bring her home safe. After kidnapping a homeless man and getting him killed, they discover Nacho's murderer is a jilted gangster named Stark, John, not Tony, who's looking to get out from his boss's shadow and take over the whole operation. Eventually, having had enough of Pepper's selfishness, Sonny sells his championship belt buckle to buy back his guns from a pawn shop and goes to get Teresa alone. He promptly gets captured. Meanwhile, Pepper follows up on a potential hot date and winds up in a fashion show. Pepper comes to Sonny's rescue, but they lose Teresa with some cowboy interrogation tactics. That's the aforementioned bestiality. And the help of Sam, they find Stark engaged in a car and horse chase through New York and eventually defeat him by lassoing him to a subway train. There we go.
Yeah. you know, you say that's John Stark, not Tony, and you miss the it's Pepper Lewis, not Potts, you know.
Oh, it's shit.
You got a Pepper and a Stark in this movie. Yeah, you've got a lot going on. And a Sam. Oh boy. Yeah, the cowboy way, I think I've mentioned it before. I don't think I've ever seen this movie, and upon watching it, yeah, I pretty much got that confirmed for me. For some reason, a couple things do stand out in my mind as things I remember. The bull riding at the beginning, for some reason, was definitely a memory. And the tail end of the Big Chief scene where he's standing on his porch with his hat and he takes his hands off his hat with the very clear erection joke. That was something that I think I remember from trailers. I think that's a moment that they definitely put into all the trailers. So I think that's what I remember of this movie is I know the trailers, and before watching it, I did know that it was Kiefer Sutherland and Woody Harrelson. The Ernie Hudson of it all took me by surprise. I will say that. So, Colin, I mean, this is your week. This is a movie you have said that you love. Why?
You know, I remember watching this movie at my friend Chad McFarlane's house. I think I was
there.
Shout out
Chad. Hi, Chad.
Yeah, shout out Chad. Haven't talked to you in like 20 years.
I'm sure you're listening, though.
I'm sure you're listening.
Small
hope
world,
Hope you're doing good. How's the family? All that. Yeah. It was at like a birthday party or something. And I think like I was in elementary school, so I wasn't that far removed from like my mutton busting days.
Okay.
So this movie starts off with like, and like I mentioned, I think in Young Guns, the last movie we watched, you know, this is not a shoot 'em up cowboy movie. It's like a rodeo cowboy movie, which are very mm-hmm. different things.
Yeah, true.
And so my family growing up was always like really big into rodeo. We'd go to like the High Prairie Stampede every year. And so I think it was just that.
Is 8 Seconds one that's in the Stewart household?
I've watched it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Continue. Yeah.
And so, I was just have always been a big fan of rodeo. I know that's not very PC to say these days. People don't like rodeo because of the
hot
animals.
Take.
Hot take
in 2024.
Hot take. Hot take. I'm still down for rodeo.
and a Ringling Brothers circus. Bring me some trained fucking elephants. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
Suck it, PETA.
And so I think I was like, because of the rodeo connection, I was just immediately into this movie.
That's fair.
And then because of the like watching Kiefer Sutherland, I knew him from Young Guns, and you know, I liked him.
Is this just the same cowboy? Batman is cowboy.
I was like, Doc's in this movie. Great. No, I think I was old enough to realize what actors were by this time. I'm fairly certain though that this movie is my introduction to Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, okay.
And even watching it, like, this is still, like, to me, like, this is like Woody Harrelson doing what Woody Harrelson does best.
He's
so funny in this. It's probably also like one of the first, like, kind of like buddy, even though they're not cops, it's like one of the first buddy cop movies I ever watched. Like, it really, like, to me, like, paved the way for like my love of Rush Hour and those types of movies. I don't know, whatever. This movie just like tickled me just right when I was. That sounds bad. I'm talking about me being like a child, not tickled. Yeah. It hit me good at the right age.
Okay.
I don't know that was any better, but. Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing Travis Tritt makes a cameo in this movie, so I'm guessing the opening song, that's his, isn't it? The Cowboy Way song? No.
Honey, it's Cowboys.
Don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Sorry, that's like Randy Travis, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that song's been covered by a bunch
Travis
of people.
Travis Tritt does have one called The Cowboy Way on the soundtrack, though. I'm just wondering, are those in your playlist?
No, like, so I am not, like, even though I love rodeo, this is kind of a weird thing about me. I'm not a big, and never have been a big fan of country music. except for Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson. Those were like
Okay.
those are kind of the only country artists I like when I liked when I was young.
Yeah, that's your country
Yeah.
kryptonite.
I mean Tim McGraw too. Fuck, I
Yeah.
like Tim McGraw. Don't
Yeah,
take the girl. One of the best songs. Live Like You're Dying.
true. Yeah. Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I can't say I don't say bad about country, right? Like there's songs that I don't like and songs that I do like. And
Yeah. Like country to me is one of those things where it's like I've heard good songs, but I was never like into it enough to like buy someone's album.
yeah.
You know what I
It's
mean? Like,
not like I hear that slide guitar and go, "Ugh, turn it off." Like it's
yeah.
yeah, if I like it, I'll listen to it. It doesn't matter what genre it is, I'll bump it.
Yeah,
But anyway,
if Cadillac Ranch comes on, like I'll be out there.
there you go. Yeah. That's right. Gonna do some boot scoot and boogie. So, let's jump into the Cowboy Way. Directed by Greg Champion, great name for someone that directs a rodeo movie. As director though, he has like 10 credits and a couple of them are like TV, so not a very renowned director on this one. Produced by Brian Grazer, so big producer there, and written by Robert C. Thompson, who as a writer he has this in one episode of Trapper John MD, and he's got the story credit, and then William D. Whitcliff, who has a bunch of like cowboy stuff, Lonesome Dove, Legends of the Fall. He's a writer on Legends of the Fall. And both of them, though, they use different names. Like they went by Rob and Bill instead of Robert and William. You know how they're listed in IMDb, that they had the, you know, as whatevers. And so I just thought, well, yeah, you're doing a cowboy movie. You gotta be Rob and Bill. You can't be Robert and William. That's not this kind of cowboy. Got guys named Pepper and Sonny, you know?
Yeah, that's like if you were to search names in like a cowboy name generator app, I feel like those would definitely be in
Oh,
the
yeah, absolutely.
top 10.
Yeah. So we open this movie and we kind of flash back in time to a couple of kids dressed up like cowboys playing on hobby horses. And knowing that Kiefer Sutherland and Woody Harrelson are in this movie, I look at these two kids and I'm like, well, if those two aren't Kiefer Sutherland and Woody Harrelson, damn, those kids look like them. 'Cause like casting got the job right. Like they understood the assignment and they went out and found kids that you would guess are the young versions of Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland. They nailed it.
I love movies that have these like opening montages that just establish everything you need to know about the characters so that you can just like get into the story.
Yeah.
I miss that. I feel like movies today don't do that enough.
No. You know, I mean, recently we saw a Road Trip. I mean, you got the whole love story of No, I know what you mean. And really, as soon as the mutton busting started, that is when I got kind of a clue of why you were into this movie. And I was trying to imagine little, you know, 10-year-old Colin Stewart out there busting a mutton.
Yeah, I was like more like 4 or 5 year old Colin
Oh,
Stewart,
okay.
but I should ask my mom and see if she can send me a photo of me mutton busting. I remember it was like a huge thing, and I don't know. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm like super competitive, and I remember like I never won, but I wanted to win so bad because I really, really wanted to win a belt buckle.
Yeah. Did your mom ever go and like just buy you a belt buckle so that you
No, she didn't. That would have been really nice, but she never did. You gotta earn those.
that would don't want to teach you the wrong lessons in life. Yeah.
Yeah, my rodeo career came to an unceremonious end when I graduated from riding sheep to riding calves. It's a farther fall when you get
Oh,
bucked
yeah,
off.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
And so yeah. You know, that was kind of the I rode a calf once and got launched, and I was like, I think we're done.
Yeah. Well, 'cause when they show the rodeo at one point later on, whoever
one guy gets kicked in the head.
He gets kicked in the head. Yeah, whoever was that, Sonny? Whoever Kiefer Sutherland's stunt double was, or was that Pepper? No, it was Sonny. It was Sonny. Yeah,
I can't remember. I thought it was. I thought they were just showing clips. I didn't know.
Oh,
if
it was just a guy.
One of them, but
I thought it was one of them. Maybe not. But yeah, no, whoever it was, yeah, I mean, he takes it in the head, and it's like, you know, yeah, a small fall off a sheep, and sheep feet aren't too big. Yeah, I could take getting kicked in the head by a sheep, but yeah, that
and sheep,
that
they
horse.
Just the thing with sheep is like they just run straight, and so it's really like you're just trying to hold on. It's about how your grip strength and like how well you can like squeeze your knees together to stay on that thing.
Do you have to like get your fingers into the wool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But with like the bigger animals, yeah, like they're flying and like twisting and stuff. Like I used to work security with a guy who at one point was like a professional bull rider, and just the stories of the injuries that he had, like basically like shoulder dislocations just from like trying to hang on as tight as you can.
Ooh,
and like
yeah.
Tons of broken arms, tons of broken ribs, like fractured skulls, like all to just try to stay on like an animal for 8 seconds.
Yeah, sounds like fun. This whole montage, we end up at a state championship, the 1993 rodeo, where we see that our boys are all grown up and Kiefer Sutherland's just rocking a mustache now, and they have won a belt buckle at the state level. And then the hard transition to New York City. But in the opening there, we meet our guys. So we've already talked about them, but let's run down this cast list here.
All right. We got Woody Harrelson as Pepper Lewis. Kiefer Sutherland as Sonny Gilstrap.
Now, Charlie Sheen was someone that they wanted for Pepper. And it's like, okay, weird. And then I found in trivia that Dennis Quaid was considered for, quote, a role in this movie. It's like, thanks, trivia on IMDb. That was really helpful. So I don't know whether it was Pepper. I don't know whether it was Sonny. I don't know whether it was fucking Sam. It could have been anyone, right? Like, he could have been Nacho for all I know. So I guess Dennis Quaid could have been in this movie, maybe, as someone.
Yeah.
Not a lot of trivia on this movie.
How epic could this was a perfect movie for a Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez team up.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
We have Dylan McDermott Mulroney as John Stark. I realized watching this movie that upon seeing both those names, this is the guy I picture.
Yeah.
This is who if somebody ever hears me talk about Dermot Mulroney, I'm talking about Dylan McDermott.
Okay. Yeah, see, because Dermot Mulroney is the one that looks like Rupert Everett.
Dermot Mulroney is, like, I don't know who Rupert is. Dermot Mulroney is, like, there's something about Mary. Right? He's the cop.
That's Matt Dillon.
No, that's Matt Dillon. Fuck.
No, yeah.
Dillon, Dylan McDermott, they're all the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, see, and what I find funny is in this movie, just the age of Dylan McDermott, I could not get Ross Geller from Friends out of my head.
I know. I
he
always think
like,
that, too.
He looks like a less
exactly
sad
like
David Schwimmer.
Yeah. I feel like I would actually attribute, like, not that Dylan McDermott hasn't had like a successful career, but I bet you his stock went way down in the 90s as soon as David Schwimmer was on Friends, because like you cannot help but look at him and be like, is that David Schwimmer?
But why haven't you cast them as brothers? They've never played brothers in a movie together. They should.
They should.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson shows up as Officer Sam Mad Dog Shaw.
Yeah, I know Ernie Hudson from The Crow, which interestingly was in theaters at the same time, but and Ghostbusters. Like, that's it for Ernie Hudson. So to have him show up, it's like, oh, shit, this is a brand new Ernie Hudson movie for me. Like, I've never seen him in anything other than those two things.
Yeah. Cara Buono plays Teresa Salazar. Marg Helgenberger plays Margaret. Thomas Millian is Manny Huerta. Luis Guzman.
Looking really young.
Yeah, he plays a gangster named Chango. And I literally, every time, like, it was so funny to me when he became, like, a weird thing in Community. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, oh, it's the guy from the Cowboy Way. I remember. Who we got? Angel Caban is probably Angel Caban is Boca. Matthew Cowles is Popfly. Joaquin Martinez is Nacho Salazar. And Allison Janney.
Oscar winner, Allison Janney. Almost unrecognizable to me.
Yeah. I'm just reading that now. I didn't know that was her. She's the NYPD computer operator.
Mm-hmm.
She literally only appears in this Wikipedia because she's famous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and then, yeah, you've also got Travis Tritt makes a cameo appearance as the other little bit of trivia in the same Wikipedia listing. So, yeah, I guess he's one of the rodeo guys, and maybe he's the one that gets kicked in the head. I don't know. But
sure, is he? Oh, I think he's one of the guys in the bet. Like, you know, when they're doing
yeah,
that,
okay.
Like, when they have the hat out there and
yeah.
Pepper comes.
He's probably the one with the least amount of lines. Yeah.
This movie, though, the way they use the camera, I'm surprised that there's not more cameos. Because they constantly pan to people, especially like in the when Pepper is at the fashion show, in a way that makes me like believe these people, like I should know who they are.
Yeah.
Like that they're like notable New Yorkers or something, but
yeah, I was actually noticing how they had a lot of handheld shaky cam in this movie. Like, it was filmed very guerrilla style in a way.
I bet you they got no permits to shoot in New York.
But it was even the scene where they're at the rodeo, like in the once we like transition to like current day or whatever, and they're hanging out in the door of his truck talking, and it's the camera is just it's shaking, and like it's just it really hit me how much this movie was not just on a fucking tripod the whole time. Like
Yeah,
they really tried to make it kinetic just with the way that they shot it.
Maybe Dean Semler, maybe he's real, real big on the handheld camera. Like he really needs to feel each moment.
He has to, yeah. He has to live in it. Yeah. But yeah, so I had mentioned the hard transition to New York City where we see some nefarious looking stuff going on. We've got a sweatshop and Ross Geller from Friends is the head of this sweatshop, threatens a guy from, with a sewing machine. That was pretty intense. That's a big needle
on
the sewing machine. Yeah. But what kind of sewing machine? Well, why don't
Singer.
I talk about it in Sponsorship Corner? It was Singer, yeah. I'll just get Sponsorship Corner out of the way right now, even though we just got into it. But always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, The Cowboy Way is brought to you by Ford, Chevrolet, Dodge, Ram, and BMW vehicles, Penske Trucking, Coors Light Beer, Jack Daniels, Coca-Cola, Roy Rogers Restaurant, Minolta Cameras, Singer Sewing Machines, Airborne Express, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. That's like the third time we've seen this hotel in this on this show. Boy, like, the Waldorf Astoria gets a lot of action in movies. Calvin Klein Underwear, the film Jurassic Park, and of course, Wrangler jeans, because I mean it's the cowboy way. Wrangler. Plus the probably fictional Club La Habitina. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Yeah, so I really didn't know what I was in for with this movie, right? Like, the opening bit where we see the cowboy stuff and everything, I'm like, okay, I get it. This is why Colin likes this movie. And then, yes, to have this hard cut to the sweatshop with the guy, you know, you take my money, where's my money? And threatening him with a sewing machine. I'm just like, this is one of Colin's favorite childhood movies? Okay. Now, I mean, is this the kind of shit that you block out and all you focus on is the funny shit going on with them? Or, as a kid, were you invested in the whole human trafficking storyline of it all?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't think I picked up on any of that. Like, I really, like, when I started watching this movie, I was realizing, well, really, as soon as Dylan McDermott came, I was like, oh, yeah, he's in it. Like, and I was like, I do not remember, like, what they actually do, like, what the story is in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, it was trafficking and all that, and I totally forgot about that piece. I kind of remember that they had – I kind of remembered Nacho and that he got murdered, but I didn't remember the circumstances around it.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I really remembered about this movie are that beginning. I had forgotten completely about the Big Chief thing
mm-hmm.
until it was happening – until, like, weirdly – like, this will sound weird, but I was like, I feel like Woody Harrelson gets naked at some point. Like, I feel like I still, like, and then it started happening or whatever. And then I remembered the cow or the calf thing with Luis Guzman.
Okay.
And that was kind of it. That was all I really remembered. There was just a lingering feeling of positivity about this movie that I went into.
Okay. Yeah, because after this, we then, like, go down to the docks where we see, like, that they're shipping immigrants. But our bad guy, he falls in love instantly. Instantly, Stark falls in love with this siren that comes out of this shipping container. I mean, he is obviously in love with Teresa right off the beginning.
You know, Dylan McDermott also really looks like a very young Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
Like... He looks a lot. I keep bringing up Prince John from, like, the Kevin Costner Robert Hood, but he really looks like him in this movie.
Yeah. I can see that too.
The one thing with the smuggling, I actually was unsure what the situation was. I knew that Stark is obviously a bad guy because he's trying to get more money,
mm-hmm.
but I was trying to figure out, like, if this is a legal situation. Like, is the other guy, like, is it Manny? Like, is he the big, like, the boss guy? Like,
yeah.
Like, it kind of seems like he's trying to do things, like, I don't know, pseudo-legitimately. I couldn't get a good read on what their actual, like, operation is.
Well, it seems like Manny is actually legitimately trying to help these people and give them a new life in the country.
Yeah.
Whereas... Stark is just using them.
Yeah.
And also trying to sell some of them. Yeah, it's a little wishy-washy because, yes, the one guy does come off as the good guy, but it's like, yeah, but you're still all importing immigrants illegally. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. So... Or is it just this Nacho guy that he's got some sort of special kinship with that... You know, he's looking out for this family specifically.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I couldn't figure it out. And then eventually I just kind of, like, ignored it to continue enjoying the movie.
Yeah. But yeah, so we go back to New Mexico after we get our human trafficking story. And this is where we get our current day cowboys. We find out that they're not really friends anymore, even though everything it was a jarring moment for me because everything we have seen up until this moment, you know, like the last time we saw them, they were celebrating their belt buckle win. So I was confused by the fact that, you know, they don't seem to be friends anymore, yet Sonny still comes to his rescue. And that is one common theme that we have discovered with these two throughout that little montage is that Sonny will always come to Pepper's rescue no matter what. He'll throw some hands.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't do a good job of creating, like, a recognizable time jump
mm-hmm.
between the where they're taking pictures with their buckles and at the next rodeo or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, like, even explaining that, like, you know, they've just qualified for the state champion, like whatever. Like,
yeah.
Because to me, it just seemed like, well, they won.
Yeah.
Like, good for them.
To me, this seemed like this was the next season. This was the beginning of the next season, you know, like, because they had come off this belt buckle win, and then here comes Pepper, like, just with all this big dick energy, just walking in, you know, like, he's the king of this place. You know, nah, my IOU's good. Woody Harrelson just oozes into the role of cowboy. I mean, that has got to be who Woody Harrelson is at his core, because that's his character in Zombieland. That's his character. Like, there's always a bit of this Woody Harrelson flavor in anything he does. He never disappears fully into a role. But this is just, this is like, if you've got your stereotypical McConaughey, this is your stereotypical Harrelson right here, I think, is this the character of Pepper.
Totally. Yeah. I agree.
Okay, so with the hat bets and everything like that, are they just betting, or, like, is he actually paying to enter? Is that what the IOU is? Is he... or is he already slated to be up there? Because I was under, it seemed like
I think
he wasn't going to compete until he put money in the hat.
Oh, I guess my assumption was that could be true. My assumption was that it was like they were all planned to compete that day, but they were betting on who was going to last the longest.
Oh, okay.
And who, and or potentially win.
Yeah. See, and I thought that was why they were pissed off at Sonny at the end of it, because they're like, oh, you know, if he hadn't put up the money for Pepper, he wouldn't have won all the money. So that,
yeah, because I think they weren't gonna accept his IOU.
I mean, is this an illegitimate rodeo that they got? Like, is this some sort of like back alley rodeo that they got going on here? Still sponsored by Wrangler, but
I mean, it could be. It could be.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, like, I know, like, in High Prairie, for example, like, they have, like, their own rodeo ground, and there's, like, the Elks Pro Rodeo that's, like, part of the Pro Rodeo circuit that comes through once a year.
Yeah.
But then they'll have, like, smaller, like, community rodeos where, like, basically, yeah, like, you, like, I could just go sign up if I really wanted to go, like, try my hand.
Come in as a walk-on.
Yeah, I don't know that rodeo. Yeah. It's a pretty ballsy move to walk on. Hey, into a rodeo.
I'll go if you do, you know. You know, 45 years old, I've been on a horse 5 times in my life. I think I got this. I know what I'm doing. I got the fundamentals down. I know how to sit.
Yeah.
I'm a master sitter. Yeah. I like their different styles of rodeoing, though. You know, like, I like Kiefer with his cigarette hanging out of his mouth the whole time, and then puts it out and puts it behind his ear. I mean, you got to make sure that shit's out, man.
End up with, like, a flaming hair.
Yeah. There's one point that he puts it up behind his ear later on, and I wasn't sure whether it was lit beforehand or not, but if I thought it was lit, and he stuck it behind his ear, and it's like, dude, you didn't put it out that time. So, yeah, it just, you don't want to light your ear on fire or your hair on fire. Or... There's superstitions. I was wanting to see more of that. Like, I like the fact that Pepper's thing is to pull out a little piece of the mane and tie it into his rope, but we only get to see the one rodeo scene ultimately. Like, we don't see these superstitions anywhere else. And
this is one of those movies where in my mind I still liked it, but I was a little disappointed because I thought I remembered them doing more rodeo stuff in the city and like doing more of like the quote unquote cowboy way, like in their attempts to like find and get the girl back and all that stuff. But there wasn't, like, you know, they rode horses, I guess, but there wasn't like a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's get into the main part of the story here. I mean, we get to meet our man Nacho, and then immediately we get to lose Nacho because he gets a call from Ross Geller in New York, who is trying to extort an extra $5,000 out of him. Like, it's all over $5,000. This man gets murdered over $5,000. That's unfortunate. Like,
Also, it seems like he gets murdered over $5,000 that he actually obtained. So, like, why murder him? Like, does he ultimately just get murdered because, like, Stark wants to bang his daughter? Like,
I think that is what it comes down to. Yes, that is some magical vagina we got going on there. That it's, yeah, and really, then that's the only price you're gonna throw on it? $5,000? Like, if you like her that much, at least try to extort like $50,000 out of him or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you'd say, put a price that like is unachievable, so that, you know, yeah, maybe he'll just give up and like.
Exactly. Like, really, ultimately, $5,000 seemed kind of cheap for human trafficking anyway. Like,
yeah,
I figured something like that cost more. Not that I know the going rate of human trafficking or anything. It just, that seems like a low number. That's all. But you're going for quantity at that point? Like, it's because, you know, like, because you're trafficking so many of them at once. It's like, yeah, $5,000 a head is better than, like, trying, you know, only shipping three people at $50,000 a head. Yeah.
But you'd think also if this was some sort of criminal operation, like, you would make the price higher just because you're, you know, you're putting your neck on the line. Like, you have to, you know, some of the cost of doing business is going to be that, like, ships get confiscated.
Oh, yeah, you got to grease some palms. You got to have some bribery money. Like, that.
So I would agree.
Half of petty cash would go towards briberies.
Yeah, I agree. I think $5,000 seems like kind of a small amount for a
small number. Yeah,
human life.
Yeah. Yeah, if you hire a hitman and they say they'll do it for $5,000, that person's a cop, right? Like, so you'd think it would be the same with human trafficking, you know?
Yeah. I also don't feel like when Sonny, like, obviously Nacho takes Sonny's guns, and then, but when Sonny goes ask Pepper to come, he's basically going because, well, I guess Pepper would have got prize money. It's not. I was thinking maybe it was because of the money that he won in the bet. Because I was like, the money that he won in the bet, it's like four guys. That's not going to be a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the prize money, I guess, could potentially be like, you know, a few thousand.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, I guess. I'm wrong.
Yeah. What is this place where all the guns were? What is it? It's like a,
I don't know.
It's like a Marshall station or something like it.
It's gonna add, like, what is this house?
Yeah,
like Sunny's house looks like, I don't know.
It's dusty.
A place where animals live, not where humans live. Like, when was the last that place looks like it should be condemned?
I like the fact that Nacho wrote the guy's phone number in the dust on the desk. Like, yeah. So I was just, and then because it all seems so law oriented, is Sunny a sheriff? He's just a rodeo guy, right? Like, he just collect old time?
Yeah, I got
sheriff?
The sense it was like a gun. Like, yeah, he was like collector of some, or they belong. Maybe they were like family heirlooms.
Oh,
or something
yes,
like that.
Passed down to him. Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah.
His uncle was Brushy Bill.
Yeah. So yeah, our stories now converge because we find out that Salazar is all tied into this plot in New York City with Stark, and he has taken off and he has promptly disappeared for a few days, and Sonny is worried about him. So he goes over to get some money from Pepper, because Pepper's the one that got all the money from the last rodeo, and we get our big chief moment with very racist impressions, and it was definitely an uncomfortable where it's like, wow, I can't believe that was only 30 years ago that, I mean, you know, it's,
there was no smoke. There's no like smoke pipe joke at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Smoke in the peace pipe or some shit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I would be curious. Like I wonder how Woody Harrelson, he probably doesn't care, but I'd be interested to know.
Yeah. There's probably a few things that everybody has that it's like, ugh. Yeah, I don't know. I had to read passages of Huckleberry Finn out loud in class when I was in junior high. So, you know, there's some things that I wish I could take back in my life, you know, these days. But that's 30 years for you. But anyway, so yeah, I have to say, though, that that when he does come outside, and the part that I remember from the commercials, that is an impressive erection if that's holding up a cowboy hat, because cowboy hats are heavy.
Yeah, honestly, that joke never even dawned on me until you mentioned it. I did not clue in.
Even on this viewing, okay.
Yeah, my mind is too pure.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, he takes his hand off. Yeah, it's in the house, yeah. But I like how Pepper just ends up bringing himself along, whether he doesn't know what's actually going on, but Nacho's his friend too, and he goes where his money goes. But now here's the question. When they finally do get, and what we can talk about the road trip in a second, but when they finally do get there and they have to run out on the meal at the fancy restaurant because all he has is $8 to his name, who is paying for gas the whole way to New York City? Like, how is it that you've gotten all the way to New York, spent a whole day in New York, only now to realize he has $8? Or do you just not realize that he's only down to $8 because you have been using all his money the whole time anyway?
You're asking too much of this movie, I think.
Okay. Okay.
I wonder, because Sonny seems like a responsible, human being.
Mm-hmm.
I think his intention was originally to use Pepper to fund the entire trip,
yeah,
not just the payoff. So maybe it was just he thought he had more. I'm going to assume it was kind of he thought he had more money than he had.
Yeah, because New Mexico to New York is a 28-hour drive. And we do see in the road trip that they drive through two nights, actually. I mean, it's like, fuck, did he just drive for 2 days straight? Was one of my questions. But yeah, I'm thinking it's possible that he started off with a couple $100 and we've been paying for gas and snacks along the way, and now he's only got $8 left. But he should have had $7,000 from the rodeo. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed the road trip. The making him ride in the back for it, and then finally, okay, fine, you can sit in the cab, but no talking. And then he just doesn't shut up until finally he does. The silent treatment was so funny.
Yeah.
I found that whole.
Yeah. Sure does feel good to talk again. That made me laugh out loud. So good. So yeah. Funny.
Fine, Pepper, finish your damn story. And he picks up exactly that's all he's been thinking about for 3 days. But yeah, just the, you know, how far did it say to our exit back there, or where do you want to eat? You know, he's asking all these questions, and Pepper really just he sticks with it. He commits. He commits to the silent treatment.
I did enjoy when they get to New York and they're trying to ask for directions and stuff and to the cab driver. I wish there was I wish they would have shown taken more time. I know I'm often movies need to be shorter, blah blah blah. But in this movie, I wish they kind of would have taken more time to show them, not aside from the hotel. I guess they did do the thing in the hotel where they're ordering the steak and they have that really funny interaction with the waiter. But just to show more of them I don't know, walking through
the
New York.
Fish out of water shit, yeah. But I do appreciate, though, the running bit of them camping in Central Park. You know, that's their life now. They camp in Central Park, and I like that kind of stuff. But you're right. A little bit more of it would have been fun. I mean, they do manage to find their way to the club pretty quickly once they do hit New York.
Mm hmm.
When they get to the phone booths and they find that all the phone books are missing, but when he hands the phone to him and it's covered in human ejaculate, why? I'm just even logically, how are you using a phone in that act that particular fluid would end up on it? That doesn't feel like something I'd want to use as a tool to Boy, yeah, that's just, that has to be the gross, like, if it was bubblegum, it would be one thing, but to make that the thing on the phone, that was just extra, I have to say. Oh, boy.
I wonder if that's based on, like, a real story.
Oh, it probably is, yeah. Oh, boy. But they do find their way to the Cuban club, and it isn't long until a bar fight breaks out. I mean, these guys in cowboy hats and Wranglers and belt buckles walk in, and you know that they're not going to be able to survive in this crowd. They're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Yeah. No, we'll buy him a beer, and then he smashes it over his head. That was a great moment. I mean, you know, I love a good bar fight, but...
Yeah. I mean, Pepper kind of ends up saving the day at the end, but it is funny that he's, like, constantly the guy who, like, just leaves. Like, Sonny's, like, constantly the one who has to come in, even in this bar fight, and, like, you know, do most of the fighting while Pepper's, like...
Yeah, Pepper starts it, Sonny comes in and protects him. Like, that's, yeah, that's unfortunately the relationship that they have for poor Sonny here. And then when he does enter the fight, his go-to move is grabbing the guy around the leg and biting his ankle. That's Pepper's go-to move.
60% of the time, it works every time. You can't walk without an ankle, I guess.
Suppose so. Go right for the Achilles heel. Yeah. So after the bar fight, they need a motel for the night. Well, there's a motel. Like that. And it's the Waldorf. See, it looks different with the carpet. You know, when we did Home Alone 2, I said they removed the carpet. It, you know,
I never noticed.
In this movie, it has the carpet. And Pepper is just always flirting. I mean, he gets quite a rapport going on with the front desk lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like their dynamic. I mean, you did mention this as kind of a buddy cop movie in a way. And I really do like that we've got the gentlemanly cowboy and we've got the wild card cowboy. You know, I like the way these two characters play off each other, because, I mean, it sucks for Sonny because he's always apologizing on behalf of Pepper, but, you know.
Yeah, they have, like, Kiefer Sutherland and Woody Harrelson have, like, really good, I think, chemistry in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, their friendship as these characters, like, seems legitimate and, like, very, very believable. It doesn't feel like I was thinking afterwards, like, the overall plot of this movie is very, very basic, and, like, pretty much everybody is, like, one dimensional, but at least their, like, relationship is very, like, just natural, and has a lot
of it relies on that. Yeah, a lot of this movie relies on them.
Yeah,
and it's good, like, it just because the next scene is like the restaurant scene, which was such a funny scene. The how would you like your steak prepared? You mean cooked? Yes, sir. How would you like your steak cooked? Like, we've seen this scene a million times, but it's done well in this case. But yeah, just the way that he's flirting with the cello player with the bottle on his tongue and, like, the fact that it's working. What is this, like, sexual magnetism of Woody Harrelson, of Pepper? Like, it just... Yeah, like, but it was all very funny to me. Yes, the cello player, like, dropping her bow, like, all her physical comedy, but all the stuff going on with them at the table and how he'd like the steak prepared, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, rip a piece off and bring it on out or whatever it is that he says, you know, like, it's just...
Dust its ass off or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. And then
I'll let the chef know. Or when he asks...
Yeah.
The best is when they ask for, like, wine or whatever. He's like, can you bring it out with a glass of ice? And the guy's like, nothing would surprise me more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he orders, like, an American something or other, right? And he's like, American something or another. Excellent choice, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's also when we get slipped the card from Marg Helgenberger, our CSI lady. And yeah, like she really likes what he can do with his tongue and a bottle, I guess. I don't know. She's very intrigued by him. So she slips him his card. And I was surprised when that ended up coming back. It's like, oh shit, he actually held up his appointment. Like he One thing about this scene with all the steak and everything, Woody Harrelson does not eat in this scene because he is vegan. So we never see him eat in this scene.
Oh, he was vegan even way back then?
Yeah.
That's
yep.
wild.
Even back then, yeah.
You could have listed 100 actors and I would have never guessed that he was a vegan. He just does not seem like a vegan to me.
Yeah. Well, I think he and Matthew McConaughey are basically the same person. So yeah, they're both vegans, and I think Matthew McConaughey's vegan, or at least vegetarian. And yeah, and they're both like, you know, big stoners. So yeah, once they stiff the bill and they, I guess, don't have a room for the night because he keeps writing bad checks all over the city, they end up camping out in Central Park, and this is when we run into our cop, played by Ernie Hudson. This is when Officer Sam Mad Dog Shaw comes into the story. You know, on one hand, this is where the story loses all sense, is once we introduce this cop into the story. But on the other hand, this is where it got so fun. Because the budding cop friendship that they've got going on and everything they do with Ernie Hudson in this movie is absolutely amazing and 100% against police regulations. There is absolutely no regard of police sense in this movie whatsoever when it comes to this character. But I was there for this relationship between him and the characters. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything. They've got a fire going in Central Park, and he's just like, oh, your friend's missing? Come on over here. You know, the only reason Pepper gets a ticket is because he was rude to him.
Yeah.
Sonny didn't get a ticket because he was polite.
He probably ripped up the ticket, though, after he helped him with his horse. He probably rethought
that. Quite possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Pickett?
Yeah, Bill Pickett. I was so curious about the amount of times that Bill Pickett, I had to look him up. And yes, William Pickett, Willie M. Pickett, was born December 5th, 1870, and died April 2nd, 1932. And he was an African-American cowboy, rodeo performer, and actor. And in 1989, he was inducted into the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, I fell into the wiki hole. And so the scene where Pepper is about to draw the mustache, you know, that's what brings up the discussion about Bill Pickett, is he is about to draw a mustache on the picture of the Lone Ranger. And the Lone Ranger is actually based on the first black U.S. Marshal. So the Lone Ranger is actually supposed to be black.
Oh, shit.
He's based on U.S. Marshal Bass Reeves. It was the U.S. Marshal's name. Yeah, and so I found that fascinating as well, is that, yeah, the Lone Ranger is also based on a black cowboy.
That's really cool.
So, yeah. So a little extra history lesson for you. They end up abducting the homeless guy to ask him some questions. You know, they're just doing a little investigation while eating pigeon in the park.
What I found what could have been like a helpful plot development in this movie would have been if the NYPD was like at all interested or previously investigating this human trafficking situation.
Yeah, apparently they have been getting away with it very well, that it's not even on the radar.
It just seems, yeah. It just seems so weird. In a city like New York, where this has to be happening, like, you know, all the time, that they would go up to a cop and be like, oh, yeah, our friend came because his daughter. Oh, and by the way, our friend's Cuban. Like, that doesn't raise any alarm bells.
Yeah. And I mean, this is jumping ahead a little bit. But when he rides his horse into the precinct and is like, come on, boys, we need to round up a posse. It's like, I mean, I'm not even going to touch all the different things that is wrong with him riding a horse into the police station. But yeah, I mean, at that point, it took like the Central Park horse cop to break open this case, break it wide open and get all the cops interested. Like, this is the lead that they have been looking for that they didn't know existed all these years. Horse cop to the rescue. Go, Sam. with the homeless guy, I like the idea of ripping the $20 bill in half, and you get half now and you get the other half when you deliver. Yeah. But yeah, they use the homeless guy to kind of find out where Teresa is hiding, and the homeless guy immediately gets shot by Mr. Stark. Stark comes up and just silencer bullets him because it was all a setup. The homeless guy gets them to, like, abandon, or I guess not abandoned, but definitely filled with squatters, a very sad looking apartment building.
Yeah, I felt bad. I did feel bad for that homeless dude. Mm-hmm. You see, I thought when I first saw him, I didn't remember that he died, and I thought he was gonna figure more. Like, I thought him, like, Sam, and like they were gonna form like some posse, and, like, take it.
That's right. Yeah, that's the X-Men that we need right there. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, they get up there, they find out that it's all a setup. They're getting shot at. They escape down the fire escape and then get back into their truck, only to find out that the homeless guy is dead in the back of their truck. So, you know, in their escape, they take some time to dump a corpse too. So. Didn't have that on your New York visit bingo card, did ya?
Yeah.
Go to this Cuban club, you know, check out the Waldorf Astoria, dump a corpse, you know, maybe check out the Statue of Liberty later on, you know?
Hit up a show or two.
Yeah.
Broadway.
Yeah. Sonny gets shot, but that never really comes back. Like, did he not get shot that badly? Like, he gets shot, and then, like, in the next scene, he's, like, he was patching it up or something, or washing it, but...
He's cowboy tough. He's just...
He's cowboy tough?
He's just, yeah, doing how they would in the Old West. Maybe he just got grazed.
Yeah, it's just, like, the fact that at the end, Pepper takes one full ass, straight yeah. in the ass, full cheek, and then, like, the very next scene, he's getting into the truck for a 28-hour ride back to New Mexico, and there wasn't even a moment of him wincing when he sat down. That's cowboy tough. That's cowboy tough right there.
Or, like, some sort of comment about how he's not going to be able to ride for a while, like, you know, like, I don't know. I'd imagine riding a horse with a bullet hole in your butt would not be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. In Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Charles Boyle gets shot in the ass and he is out for weeks. But yeah, so now after they dump the corpse, this is where we finally start to find out about what the actual rift is between these guys. They take a long time. Yeah. To get to the root of what their problem actually is. Like, you don't get a lot of hints. Like, you know, you get the few hints from Nacho at the beginning of, hey, you guys should talk, you know.
Basically,
like,
just know that they were supposed to go to Nationals and Pepper didn't show up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It takes a long time. It takes, like, an obscenely long time for them to figure out why. Or, like.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're like at like the halfway point before we even get any more information. And this is the point where he gets, like, kicked out of the truck.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, no, get the fuck out of my truck. And then he takes a cab ride. $4.50 for a cab ride? Fuck. Come on. Amazing. I wish. Like, isn't it like $4.50 just to get into a cab these days?
Yeah,
isn't that
say,
the starting price on a cab?
I feel like $4.50 might take me to the end of the block.
Yeah, it might be $3.50 to start. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I couldn't believe that he followed him, like, all the way through New York, and it was only $4.50. That's why Uber's taking over, guys. If you're only charging $4.50 for a cab.
Man, I haven't taken a cab in so long. It's to the point where, like, I forget that they even exist until I see one on the road. I'm like, yeah. Oh, yeah, cabs. I just assume that everybody uses Uber now, but.
Well, I've only ever ridden in one Uber in my life, and it was in Paris. And as far as cabs go, the last time I was in a cab, I had to have cash.
Yeah.
So I know debit's been in, you know, debit credit has been accepted in cabs for at least 15, 20 years. So, yeah, that's probably my last cab ride was that long ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have friends with cars. I can get a ride to the airport if I need one. So after they separate, this is where Sonny goes to get his guns from the pawn shop because he ended up finding the ticket in his friend's body. Yeah, I guess jumped completely over the fact that Horse Cop follows them around for a while, right? Like after he finds them in Central Park, they go back to the station. That's where we get Alice and Janny filling out the paperwork and they find out that he's in the morgue and they find... They find his body, but yeah, he gets the pawn shop ticket and he tries to go get his guns back in the pawn shop. That was another great scene. I liked when the security guy is called out and he ends up hog tying him.
Not my personal best, but it'll do.
But yeah, he has to sell his belt buckle to get his guns back. There's only two of these in the world. I mean, I'm trying to, like, he says it's gold and silver, but it's mostly silver, right? Like, how much could that actually be worth? Like, rarity aside, the actual metal of the belt buckle, how much could that possibly be worth? $300?
I don't know. This is like a thing that I mean, I don't really understand the idea of pawning this belt buckle unless it's like, is the intention that somebody is going to like melt it down and like use the gold for something they actually want, because I just don't think a rodeo belt buckle is in like high demand
in New York City.
Yeah, like it's even when I've heard about NHL players and stuff, you know, having to pawn their Stanley Cup championship rings, but at least that type of sports memorabilia would be of interest to somebody. I just
can't see a lot of belt buckle collectors out there.
No, I can't.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, it's not like someone from a Broadway production of Oklahoma is going to walk in there and go, thank God, we finally found one. Like, and it says Sonny on it.
Yeah. It's authentic.
Oh. That was the main character, right? Sonny in Oklahoma? No.
Curly.
Curly! Fuck! That would have been such a better joke if his name actually...
I thought you were telling me that when we did Oklahoma, you went to a pawn shop and like...
Oh.
But your name was Slim, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was Slim. Yeah. Yeah, so meanwhile, we've got the whole, like, Teresa gets taken away from Ross Geller. And so, like, problem solved, right? Like, we have this whole side story where Stark has, like, come to her rescue, quote-unquote, and he doesn't know what's happened to his daughter or to her dad, and he's moved her into his apartment, and then the other guy comes and takes her away, right? Like, it's... That should have been the problem solved, but he ends up locking her up. So, like, this is where it gets a little muddy to me, right? Like... Because this guy decides that human trafficking is the best thing to do with her to get more money. Like, does he take Stark's advice on that? Or, like...
You're talking about the boss, right? Like,
yeah.
Manny. Yeah. Manny. Yeah, their relationship, I just don't really understand.
Yeah.
Because it seems like Manny at certain times seems like he has the power to, like, intimidate Stark. But then other times it just seems like... He's more afraid of him, and Stark doesn't, like, give a fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, if... Why wouldn't he have just, like, gone immediately once he knew that Stark had this girl and taken her and given her to her father or whatever? Or been like, hey, I heard you hose this guy for an extra $5,000 that I probably haven't seen. Maybe it's time to take Stark for a trip to the sewing machine.
Right? Yeah. His role in this was definitely a little confusing to me with the Manny part of it all. Like, that's where I can see why this movie might not have done well in the box. The villain plot is a little, unless I'm just missing a bunch of lines, but it's a little confusing to me. Like, it just, it doesn't quite have a good focus to me.
It's also really thin, because yeah. it's like Stark has like no real stated goal at all.
No,
he's just a bad guy, but yeah, there's no real like what is he trying to or hoping to accomplish?
Yeah.
With what he's like doing.
The only time that we get any kind of like interesting character growth with him is when we find out that he's a fashion designer too. Like, he's an up and comer. Like, he doesn't just have this dirty sweatshop. Like, he's actually trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah.
Like, this would be like Calvin Klein doing this, you know, or something, you know.
Yeah, like, you
know,
Versace has
gotten himself a woman and is keeping her captive.
Like, they
you
could,
know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they could have had something where it was like, they kind of pay off Pepper's modeling thing with the billboard at the end, but like,
mm-hmm.
but what if it had been that like Stark was he's about to debut his new line at a fashion show, and they knew he was going to be there, and the only way they could get in was to like leverage Pepper's new modeling friends and ability and have him like get into the show and then
yeah.
you know take him down that way.
Yeah, well, it's harder to ride a horse in a fashion show, though, and we have
True,
to have
but,
these guys riding a horse. Ultimately.
But they could have done it. You still could have had them leave and then do the whole horse car chase through the city or whatever after. But
yeah, so well, anyway, though, because Teresa has been taken back from Stark, we now get a chance for Sonny to rescue her from the club and. He hasn't learned anything about going into this club with his big, obvious, conspicuous outfit. Like, maybe leave the hat in the car. I'm sure that's where your superpowers come from, but you're definitely not doing anything at all to blend in this environment.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to stick out like a big white hat is what you're going to stick out like.
Yeah, cowboys aren't really known for their stealth.
No, not really. Their boots make noise too. Like it's you need some running shoes. You need some, you know, soft soles. Yeah.
I was a little one of the more shocking moments of this movie to me was when Pepper goes to the party or whatever to meet Margaret,
mm-hmm.
and they end up dancing. The dance is awful. Like I don't know. I don't know if it was intentionally awful, but I was like. He's not even like really moving on beat. He's definitely not doing like a true two-step. I was just kind of like, what's going on?
Well,
I don't know. It's so bizarre.
I can't imagine it's easy to two-step to En Vogue.
No, but I was just thinking like this is where I would hope that you hired a choreographer who, if the character's line is going to be like, if it's got a beat, blah, 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 I can dance to it. But it's like, a cowboy's dance is going to be some form of
two-step, yeah.
And he's doing this weird, like, shuffle thing.
Yeah,
he's literally doing what, and this is, like, no offense, but it was like when we were doing Oklahoma and Shelly was trying to, like, make a dancer out of me who's, like, not at all. Like, I remember doing that to be like, oh, yeah, I got to shuffle because I need to be here. Like, and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and the other part of it, like, especially when he gets up on the platform, the raised area, he's doing kind of a Texas line dance. He's doing kind of an electric slide, kind of, but not really. Like, yeah, you're right. It's not very good dancing. But I can't imagine, you know, free your mind and the rest will fall. And, you know, slow, slow, quick, slow. Slow. that would be a hard one to two-step to. But
yeah.
Yeah, you're right though. If you say that you can dance to anything with a beat, yeah, you got to back that up. And of course, we do get a very homophobic line in here as well when Woody Harrelson refers to the two guys as a couple of rope suckers. So,
yeah.
So 1994 not letting me down in the homophobic department. But yeah, that I also thought though, just ultimately this scene was so oddly placed, the whole party scene, Because you have this scene where I guess it's supposed to bring this light nature to it, but it's sandwiched in the middle of, okay, Teresa is in trouble, Sunny has gone in to save her, what's going on there? Isn't it when Sunny gets knocked out, then it cuts to like Pepper at this party?
Yeah.
It's like, here's Pepper having, meanwhile, in Pepper's world, he's having a good time. He's not, his life isn't in danger at all. But the twist, Teresa comes to Sunny's rescue. It's kind of fortunate that they trapped him in a room with a sink too, so that she can like do some first aid on him.
Yeah.
But they're such shitty henchmen. How do you miss that he has a knife hidden under his jacket? Yeah. She can't untie the knots, and he's like, oh, that's okay, I got a knife hidden in my jacket. Who searched you?
Yeah.
Louis Guzman, you're not doing your fucking job, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's another thing where I'm like, it's like, was this like a legitimate operation, and Stark is just trying to like turn it corrupt, and like, and he's turning these guys into these like guys who are just like, you know, the other day Luis Guzman was like Kevin from accounting, and now he's being asked to be like a murderous henchman.
Yeah. But so then we cut back to the party. We find out, this is where we find out that John Stark is in fact a fashion designer, because he's at the party right when poor Pepper is trying to get his tequila on. He's doing body shots, but he's too distracted by John Stark. And he manages to get out of there. And now it's time to bring back Horse Cop. We get Sam. Mad Dog comes back into the picture. I need to borrow your horse. Sonny's in you can't have my horse. Sonny's in trouble. Hop on. So this is where like police procedure just gets thrown out the fucking window, because like, not only is he like ignoring crimes that are happening, but he's like actively participating in crimes. Like they get to the club and he just sits there while Pepper drives the truck into the club, and then he holds a gun on all the patrons of the club. Like the cop is holding everybody ransom or hostage, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam's in deep.
He really legitimately wanted to be a cowboy and not a cop. Like, cuz this is all cowboy behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of where the movie goes a little bit off the rails, but I loved it. I loved it, you know, because yeah, they get into the club. Pepper says, you know, this is the cowboy way. You want to be a cowboy? This is the cowboy way. And I thought, yeah, he said it. Right on. And Sam gets awfully full of himself as well. Like, I mean, he's twirling guns and everything like that. But they have rescued Sunny. And then here's the next crime that Sam gets to be complicit to as a cop, is when they decide to torture Louis Guzman
yeah.
with the cow. Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna think your weenie is a teat. So I gotta tell you, he makes it look like it hurts. I imagine it would hurt.
Yeah, that's a scene I remember thinking it was really funny when I was a kid, and now I'm kind of like, I don't know how to feel about it. It's like, it's kinda weird.
Yeah. And I know I definitely think back to, there have been times in my life where I have milked a cow. I know how hard you have to yank on one of those things to get any milk out. So, like, just the idea of what that cow is doing to get the milk out of their mother, translating that over to the poor henchman here who... And then we never really get to find out whether he did talk. Like, how long did they torture this poor man for? Like, Sam must have stepped in at some point, right? Like,
yeah.
Tell me Sam didn't get in too deep, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the thing, though, is like, it's weird that they just let it happen, and it's not like, there's no moral, like, there's no option of, like, threat. Like, there's no, like, oh, it's going to get close, like, it's going to happen. Like, it's just like, oh, you're not going to talk to us? Okay, well.
Yep.
Here we go.
Go get it. Yeah. And so they go off after the bad guy, and this is where Sam rides into the station. I mean, don't you have a radio, Sam? I mean, I know it's not as cool as riding your horse into the police station, but
he's just getting swept away.
Like, you'd think a few of the cops would pull guns for a second. What the fuck, a horse, right? Like, oh, geez, it's just Sam, that crazy motherfucker. And then we finally get the rest of the story, though. We get to wrap up the backstory of what happened with them, and we find out that Pepper actually sabotaged Sonny all those years ago because he didn't want Sonny settling down on a ranch. That's all it was.
Didn't want to break up the team.
Yeah, he likes the life on the road. He doesn't want Sonny to have a homestead, so he didn't actually get drunk. He just didn't show up on purpose. He was just a dick. That's all he said. But they get to the place. They get out of the truck, and Pepper says, should I lock the doors? And Sonny says, yeah, lock the doors. The windows are wide open. Like, they reach into the truck to lock the doors. Why did they lock them?
No, I never thought about that. I'm assuming that's just like a cat, like that. Maybe that's some cowboy thing that they're drawing attention to.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But yeah, so they go into the warehouse, right? It was a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
I didn't write it down. Yeah, they're in the warehouse. And in the end, the cavalry shows up. The NYPD officers all in their boats show up. So did his job. Yeah,
that's a pretty that is a pretty epic scene. And Sam comes like not on his horse, but just like full Hasselhoffing it like astride a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and then once again just abandons all protocol when he hops like shotgun. It's like, yeah, you go after. I'll just ride shotgun here. Let's Pepper ride in the bed of the truck, which has to be illegal in New York City, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But no, he just doesn't believe in laws anymore. But then we find out that New York traffic becomes a character in this movie, so we get Manhattan gridlock making an appearance. But it's the bad guy that's the cause of the gridlock. Oh my God, he's taken off. And we get the subway chase. Thank God two more horse cops are around so that we can get more horses into it. And all this time, this final horse chase, it's so cool, them chasing down the subway and everything. But all I can think of is, doesn't that suck for the horses? Like, isn't it bad for horses to be running that fast on asphalt? And like the bridge deck looks like it's metal. Like, those don't seem like surfaces that are good for horses running at full speed.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I'm gonna assume that they have like a maybe they make like a special shoe for the mm-hmm. for those type of situations. But yeah, I don't really understand. Like, I'm sure New York must still have like mounted like horse police, I'm guessing.
Yeah, especially for Central Park.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago what happened in London.
No.
But a couple horses got spooked in some, you know, whatever ceremony, and they ended up just running wild through the streets of London.
Oh, wow.
So they've got videos of these horses running down the streets of London and, you know, like running into buses and shit. Yeah. Like, it's insane what these horses are doing. But all I could think of is they're running full speed on asphalt. That can't be good for them. But you're right. Maybe there is some special, like, is there a rubber horseshoe for hard surfaces?
Yeah, I don't know.
Get some Dr. Scholes on those on those mares. But yeah, I did enjoy, though, the chasing down of the subway.
Mm-hmm.
But then we find out that New York, even when you pull a gun on the subway, it's not enough to make the driver want to stop immediately. I need you to stop. I can't! It's an express! He's holding a gun on you, man!
They're committed. New Yorkers don't fear death, I guess.
Yeah. But then we end up with the subway platform showdown where Sam is absolutely okay with them just dragging this man to the death in the end. I mean, Sam is definitely a hero, right? Like, they've got them. He's got our cowboys cornered here. Stark has our cowboys cornered. Their guns are on the, have been thrown down, and Sam is coming up on the side. But yeah, in the end, they just let him lasso him to the back of the train and drag him to his death, I guess.
Yeah, and one of the more like underwhelming, you know, I mean, I don't know how the hell else they're gonna do it, but when you like, they shouldn't have shown the body getting dragged on the tracks. Like, it's so obviously like bad that like you could have just done with like a show the rope tightening, show like him getting pulled away, and then just left it at that. Like,
yeah, yeah, like especially when it hits the one thing in the middle and bounces. It's like, fuck, is this weekend at Bernie's all of a sudden? Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, in the end, like, Sam has let them crash into a building, he has let them murder a man, and we're also looking the other way at the illegal immigrants at the end of the movie. So, you know, that's fine. Yeah, sure, take your illegal Cuban immigrant away, that's fine, no problem. I'm not gonna call ICE.
Hey man, that's the cowboy way.
It is the cowboy way. But we find out that the punchline of all of everything that went on at the one woman's apartment with all the clothing designers is that to get the belt buckle back, Pepper had to do a Calvin Klein ad. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to say too much about it, but I feel like his crotch was very stuffed. Is this something Calvin Klein does? Because I remember there was a big deal about Justin Bieber's crotch being stuffed in a Calvin Klein ad as well several years ago. So,
I mean, I assume that all like male underwear models stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like a crotch stuffing industry, I suppose.
There you go.
And there we go. That is the cowboy way. Oh, now, Colin, on IMDb, it scored 5.9 out of 10. I couldn't find a Metascore. Once again, I don't know what has been going on with IMDb lately. It's like half the times there's a Metascore, and it doesn't even seem like it always has to be like lesser known movies. I don't know. Anyway, on Rotten Tomatoes, though, I guess there's no, it's a good thing there's no Metascore listed, because Rotten Tomatoes gave it 20% on the tomato meter, but an audience rating of 59%, so audience is loving it exactly the same way. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like getting kicked in the head by a bucking bronco. Hit us with some reviews.
For whatever reason, this is one of those movies that I feel like is in a black hole of discourse.
Yeah.
Like, it's not shocking to me that you couldn't find a Metascore, because, like, it just seems like one of those movies that, like, nobody really talked about.
No.
There's not even, like, a lot of, like, critical reviews or anything. It was, like, it just seems like it was kind of a movie that nobody really went to see.
And when you look at the box office number, I mean, that helps back up that theory for sure.
Yeah. This unknown reviewer gave it 2.5 out of 5 and says, kind of a lame cowboy in the city type film. I found the story to be shallow and the acting kind of quote-unquote woody. Sorry, Harrelson. Pun not intended. Haha. My girlfriend bought this for me a couple years ago, so I'm keeping the DVD anyway.
Pun not intended? No, you know you did a lap after you wrote that line.
Yeah. This reviewer gives it 1 out of 5 and says, I can't believe I watched this. I think this, Man of the Year and King Ralph, are the worst movies I've seen in the theater that weren't on a bet or a dare. That and also TMNT 3.
I don't remember Man of the Year well enough, but I can't get behind that assessment of King Ralph. I love King Ralph. Okay. King Ralph's an amazing movie.
This one is 3 out of 5 and says, man, with all of these gay undertones, I had to rewind a bit to see the title and make sure I wasn't watching Brokeback Mountain again.
What?
Really, I kind of wish that they did go the gay cowboy route. At least something interesting would be happening. True, this film is saved by solid performances from our leads. Still, the jumpy camera work, awful dialogue, poor humor, cliches, improvable performances from supporting cast members, and general dragging leave the cowboy way to be an unengaging and unmemorable ride.
Hmm. Okay.
This one's 2 out of 5. I owned this at one time. I also had boots and a cowboy hat. Not anymore. Testy says 3.5 out of 5 stars. I discovered this one from 1994 on DVD recently. I'd never seen it before, and it appears to be quite a rare DVD. The critics don't seem to like it, but I'm a Woody Harrelson fan, so I thought I'd give it a watch. The story is about two modern-day cowboys who go to New York to rescue a friend's daughter from a people trafficking gang. It's an old-school movie, so there's plenty of stunt action scenes to enjoy. The acting is pretty good, and Woody is as entertaining as ever alongside Kiefer Sutherland, who plays the other cowboy. I like the fish-out-of-water comedy provided by the cowboys in New York, and the long chase scene at the end was exciting. Highly recommend.
It was exciting. I liked that chase scene.
I'm gonna do one more. It's just because it's kind of long. Daniel Armua from Google says 3.5 or 3 out of 5 stars. Old westerns, modern westerns, comedy westerns, spaghetti westerns, and a world chock full of gunslinger showdown or cattle rancher movies, the cowboy way stands alone as a genre-defining film. The Cowboy Way is a thoroughly enjoyable action comedy that puts two polar opposite friends and rodeo rivals together on a cross-country journey to find their longtime friend and employee and his new immigrant daughter, while at the same time avoiding the clutches of the human trafficking mob. The Cowboy Way is a fun-for-all movie made to be enjoyed with the entire family. The comedy exploits of Pepper Lewis, Woody Harrelson, explodes as it collides with the somber rigidness and sobriety of Sonny Gillstrap, Kiefer Sutherland, as both men are forced to put aside their differences in order to stay alive and pull off a very difficult rescue mission. As I previously mentioned, The Cowboy Way is a genre-defining film as it combines the drama, action, and intrigue one would expect from a big-budget Western, along with the lightheartedness and goofy antics of a comedy caper, which makes this a film that could be enjoyed many times over.
Wow. What was the star rating on that again?
3 out of 5.
Okay.
That's a 5 out of 5 review, though.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Oh boy. Right on. Okay. I love a good buddy cop movie. I love a good fish out of water movie, like a Crocodile Dundee or something like that. And I love seeing a life that I don't know much about. So like the rodeoing of this movie, right? Like when I mentioned there are different styles of getting onto the horses, like that view of getting onto a horse in the chute is not something you see very often. So that's something that's interesting to see. So with all those ideas in mind, like those three things, I love that about this movie, the buddy cop, the fish out of water, all those things. I love that about this movie. And I had a lot of fun with this movie. But boy, it's not a good movie. I mean, I wish that I could even say that this was kind of like Roadhouse, kind of like Point Break, but those had better stories, right? Like, ultimately, I'm disappointed that the villain's story wasn't very strong because everything else going on in this movie had the potential of being something so, or it was all so fun. It had the potential of being part of something great, like one of those, schlock classics like Roadhouse or Point Break, right? Like,
Well, that's, yeah.
I feel like it could easily be one of those movies if the villain storyline was a bit stronger. And but
Yeah.
I think the 60% is fair. I had fun with it. I didn't dislike this movie at all. It just, with a stronger story, that part would have been great, but the chemistry was off the charts. That everything that those two leads of this movie touched in this movie were it was so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, this movie is a one good villain arc away from being like Rush Hour. Like
Pretty much,
it's
yeah.
almost like the same, like daughter captured, but it's just in this one the villain lacks any like discernible like real motivation or like story to speak of. And so that I think I agree with you completely. I think that really detracts from the overall like narrative of the film. But yeah, it's still to me I was surprised at how fun and enjoyable I still found watching it. despite it being like a pretty subpar story.
Yeah, like even as much as I tease the amount of, you know, police procedures that went out the window with Ernie Hudson's characters, I can still look beyond that because I love a renegade cop too. I like a John McClane, and this is kind of a different, this is horse cop version of John McClane. This is taking that yippee-ki-yay one step farther because you've actually got a horse. But, yeah. But like, I love the inclusion of that character as well. I thought the threesome was great. The three of these characters together was great. But yeah, you're right. Like, it's like you said, that one villain's good villain story arc away from just elevating this movie to that next level. So I'd say go watch The Cowboy Way, because why not? You'll have a good time with it probably. But yeah, don't expect to really think about it much.
Yeah.
go there for, you know, the silly cowboy stuff. And I only say silly because it's Woody Harrelson being cowboy and being silly and racist and homophobic.
Yes. Yes. This is classic 1990s Woody
classic
Harrelson.
Classic 1990s. And there we go. That's The Cowboy Way, and that's our show for this week. Oh boy, if you like that show, well, just tell someone. You know, word of mouth is so important for a podcast that telling a person face-to-face means more than reviews ever could. But while you're at it, why don't you go give us 5 stars on whatever app you listen to your podcast on? Help your boys out. Help move us up some charts with those algorithms of science and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, help us out there. Or if you want to go above and beyond and be a financial supporter of the show and join us on Patreon, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne, and then you become an executive producer so you get a shout out just like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals. Anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin, one more Western movie left, and I mean this might be the strongest one of the bunch. I don't know. Have you ever seen our next movie?
I haven't seen City Slickers, but I've seen parts of City Slickers 2.
Oh, okay. The Legend of Curly's Gold. Okay. Part.
But I could not tell you right now what the premise of either movie is or I just know that Billy Crystal's in it.
Billy Crystal is in it. Absolutely. Yeah. So City Slickers and Daniel Stern. So we get return of Marv from Home Alone for us here. Right on. Well, I'm excited because from what I remember, City Slickers is a great movie. And I know you like Billy Crystal from When Harry Met Sally. So hopefully that combination is good enough. Yeah, so another modern cowboy. This time we're going the other way, though. See, that's with Cowboy Way, we got the cowboys in the big city. In this one, we've got the big city boys being cowboys.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I mean, hence City Slickers. I guess that should have probably been obvious from the title, maybe. I don't know. Seems like a solid title.
I'm looking forward to it. City Slickers is one of those movies that I've always, like, you know, it's a zeitgeist pop culture movie that's always been around that I've wanted to watch, but have just never gotten around to it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right on. Well, there we go. So until next week, I'm Sean Wells.
And I'm Sonny Colin Stewart.
And we'll see you next time on I Used to Like This One.